The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter. The reading opens with questions about the identity of the Messiah. John the Baptist insists that he is not the Messiah. Instead, he points ahead to one who is coming, and whether the voice of God was heard by all or only by Jesus, God settles the matter. Jesus is God's beloved Son. I begin reading at verse 15. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon. Good morning. All right, I need some help this morning. Who would like to draw a cross? Anybody want to draw a cross? All right. Hang on a second, though. Before I let you draw a cross, I got to do something here. Okay. Can you draw a cross on that? Huh? You try. What's wrong with it? It's too blurry in it. There's lines and squiggles and everything else on there. How are you going to draw a cross on there? I tell you what, I know how to fix it, though. Eraser. All right, we're going to give it a squirt of this, though, first. All right. Doesn't take much. So I'm going to keep it off my robes here. All right. Let's see if we can erase that out. It makes kind of a mess, though, doesn't it? Got too much stuff on there, so I think I've got a cloth here too somewhere, and I can wipe it off. See if we can get all that cleaned off of there. Well, now I'm going to have green hands though too, aren't I? All right. Now I bet you can draw a cross on there, can't you? Mm-hmm. Okay. There you go. Okay, while you're drawing the cross, we're going to talk about this a little bit. That piece of whiteboard was pretty dirty, wasn't it? It was a mess. Sometimes our lives get like messes, too. We do things that we're not supposed to do. You ever do anything you're not supposed to do? All right. You get in trouble with your parents every once in a while, or somebody, or teachers? Every once in a while. I think we've all done that before. Or maybe you hurt somebody's feelings. Ever hurt anybody's feelings? Maybe. Okay. And so when we do things that we're not supposed to do, that's called sin. And it makes us all messy. Like I scribbled all over that thing, it makes our lives all messy. But God does something for us. He forgives us. Y'all ever remember seeing a baptism? We baptize maybe little babies or sometimes older children or sometimes even adults that we baptize. Y'all know where we do that? Right over there. That's right. That's where our baptismal font is, right over there. When we baptize people, it's like washing all the stuff away, like all that mess, like we erased it. We're washing it all away and we're making it clean so that Jesus can come into our hearts. Or God washes that away so that we can be saved, so that we can be made new. And once it's all cleaned off then, Jesus comes. Jesus is in our lives. He fills us up and makes us clean. He makes us well once again. And baptism's not just that that one day, but baptism happens each and every day. Each and every day God comes to us and he wipes us all clean. He erases all that bad stuff that happens in our lives and he makes it clean so that he can be in our hearts and be with us. Okay, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you have washed away our sin. You have washed away all the mess in our lives so that we can be made new and fresh for you to enter in. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to sit. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is a beginning of a new season in the church. Actually, Wednesday was the beginning of the new season. It's called Epiphany. Wednesday was the day of Epiphany. Epiphany is also known as the 12th day of Christmas, and it traditionally, in many parts of the world, it's the day that they actually do celebrate Christmas, or it's also known as the day that they celebrate the coming of the wise men to visit Jesus Christ. Epiphany basically means let it be revealed, let it be made known, just as the wise men were revealed the Christ child, as they saw that Christ child, as they understood, as they came to worship that new king. Some of the themes of Epiphany are the light, that the light shines in the darkness. The light has come. It has been revealed. Everybody can see God's glory. In our story today, that it follows much the same theme. Actually, today is a minor festival. It's called the Baptism of Our Lord. In that, we see the revealing of the Christ. We see as Christ comes out of the waters of baptism that the Holy Spirit comes down in bodily form of a dove. And then also, too, they heard the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." It's that revealing that goes on. But this day of the Baptism of Our Lord gives us a chance to think about baptism, about the baptism of John, about baptism of Jesus, but then also the Christian baptism, the baptism in which we were baptized. John's baptism was a little bit different. John came out of a Jewish tradition, and it was part of that tradition of baptism. That was part of the rituals of the Jewish faith. Of being baptized, and it showed a symbolic washing, that your sins are forgiven, that your sins are washed away. John himself must have been a sort of a somewhat of a character, someone who is different, someone that you would remember if you ever came in contact with him. John lived by himself or lived out in the wilderness. He ate strange food such as locust and wild honey. His clothing was rough and homespun. He probably looked pretty shaggy, but he demanded respect. Not because he demanded it, but simply because of who he was and the message that he had to give to the people. As he proclaimed that you should repent from your sins. Get ready because God is coming. The Messiah is coming and he is coming soon. He will be here. Repent. Change your ways. Turn back to God. And it was a message that people needed to hear. And people who came were absolutely fascinated with him because John didn't go to the people. The people came all the way out to the wilderness to hear that. And I'm sure John was a very powerful speaker that brought that message about. That message to change your ways. That message also that the Messiah, the Christ, is coming. The Savior that had been promised for hundreds of years is coming soon. Get ready. And in that process, then too, he would baptize the people as they repented of their sins. He brought them through the ritual of baptism, of that symbolic washing, of that cleansing, so that their sins would be washed away. But that baptism was somewhat limited. Again, it's very similar to washing. Think about when you take when you're hot, when you're dirty, when you're sweaty, maybe muddy, maybe covered in grime or dust or whatever else. You go in and you take a good bath or you take a shower, and you sud yourself up with soap and you wash it all off, you come out of that bath or shower and you feel clean, you feel refreshed, you feel like a human being once again, you're clean. But what happens? It doesn't take long and you start to get dirty again. And that's the same with us then too. We can be washed clean of our sins, but then we start to get dirty once again. And for John then, and for the people of that time, the washing would be symbolic of that forgiveness of sins, but then they would become sinful once again, and so they would have to come back and be baptized once again. The baptism of John was a continuous thing. It wasn't a once-in-a-lifetime sort of thing, but it would happen over and over again, either by John or by one of the other religious leaders, that you would be baptized again. When Jesus came to be baptized, it confused John to a certain extent because John knew who Jesus was. And there was no reason for Jesus to be baptized. He was without sin. He was without blemish. He didn't need that sin washed away. So he questioned Jesus, why are you coming to be baptized? And it's also a question that's plagued theologians throughout the centuries. But I think one of the reasons that Jesus was baptized is simply because of his ministry to us. God came into this world to become fully human. And Jesus, too, went through that experience of being baptized. And for Jesus, though, it was more than just the washing away of sins, because obviously he didn't need that. For Jesus, I think, it was more of an anointing, like they used to anoint kings or prophets or people of high positions. They would anoint them and make them ready for the office they were to hold. Jesus is anointed through his baptism, and after the baptism, he goes out into his public ministry. It begins then. But in that anointing of being made ready for that ministry, we see that revelation that it is proclaimed to all people, that epiphany, that Jesus is revealed as the Messiah. He's revealed as the Son of Christ. And so what about us? What about our baptism? Our baptism's a little bit different than John the Baptist. Obviously, it's somewhat different from Jesus. The Christian baptism is more than just the baptism of John the Baptist. Again, with John the Baptist, he washes away the sins. You get sinful again. You come back, you get washed once again. And it's similar very much, like I said, to a shower or a bath or a cleansing in that sense. Christian baptism, on the other hand, is closer to a birth. We talk of baptism as being born anew or born again or being born from above. And it is very much like birth. And if you remember that story in John chapter 3 of Jesus in that conversation with Nicodemus late at night about the baptism. And Nicodemus even has questions about it. He asked Jesus, well, how can we be born again? How can we be born anew? Or how can we be born from above? Does a person enter back into a woman's womb? And Jesus says, no, it is being born from above. It is being born of the Spirit. You become a new person. When we are baptized, our sins are washed away, very much like in John's baptism. But we are made a new creation in Christ. Our sins, and not only our daily sins, but that sin, that original sin that is deep within us, that sin that we are born with, is also taken care of as well in our baptism. And we become new. We become children of God. God adopts us at that point, and we become his children. We join God's family in baptism. He makes us new. He gives us a new identity. And it is very much like being born. When you're born physically, you take in that breath and you're ready to live. In baptisms too, we take in that Holy Spirit. We take in that breath of God and we are ready to live for Christ. Now, since we have been born once again, part of that whole idea of baptism is rather simple, though. I mean, we take one of the most common elements on this earth, water. And we need water to survive. So water is all around us in many and different various ways. It's very common. And a few words are said at that baptism. But what makes it so effective is not the person who's baptizing or the person who's being baptized. Rather, it is that presence of God. It is that word of God that comes to us in that baptism that makes it so effective. And since we have been baptized then, can we ever lose the baptism? And once again, we go back to saying, no, it is a birth. It is a birth, and therefore we only need it one time. We only need one baptism throughout our lives. It is like that birth. And like the birth, you can never lose your birth. You've been born. You're alive. You take that first breath when you're born, and you're ready for life. You're ready for all the good things in life, for the love, for the good food, for the fun, for meaningful work that we do in our lives. We're ready to share with other people. We're ready to live with other people. We're ready for life and all the blessings that life has in store for us. You can't lose your birth, but can you lose your life? And the answer is yes, you can lose your life. You can make choices in your life that are destructive to your life, such as abusing alcohol or illegal drugs, of making choices that are reckless and putting you in dangerous situations. You can make choices in your life that hurt other people, that hurt your own life, that make you miserable and bitter and do not enjoy life at all. You lose those benefits that life has to offer. In the same way, we never lose our baptism. Our baptism is always there. God is always ready to welcome us and to forgive us. But we can lose the benefits. If we choose to turn our back on God, if we choose to do destructive behavior towards God or towards one another, we can lose our benefits. If we say there is no God anymore, you still have your baptism. God is still ready to welcome you back. But you can lose those benefits. God has blessed us richly with our lives, with being born physically and also being born spiritually in our lives, given us these gifts and these benefits that go along with us. As Christ was revealed as the Messiah of the whole earth, of Christ, the Savior of the whole earth, we too have been revealed in our baptisms as children of God and also tied then to that cross and to that resurrection of Christ. That we die with him daily, that baptism continues with us each and every day, that we die with Christ daily so that our sins are wiped away and we start fresh, we start new. We start with a life that is ready and open for Christ and to serve Christ always. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.